begin the current Tav, Mesach the Shabbos, Tav Yates on Amid Beis. Begin the Tais, the Ramaskal, Shemesh Abadadin, this is the oil of the olive presses, which Tais can explain what oil are we actually talking about over here. That is, the Gemara had brought regarding this oil that Tais is talking about of the olive presses. Rav says it's permitted, and Shmuel says it's forbidden. And Pirsha Quinches, Rashi explains what are we talking about over here. And Mishtari, Bezavis, Besabad, we're talking about the oil that's left over in the corner of the olive press, which they leave for the olive pressers. So regarding that oil, that we said if that's going to be Aser or Mutter, which is regarding the laws of Mukta. Now, Bekash Lari, but that was difficult to the Ri, because here we're talking about an Ar Sugya regarding loading up the beams of the olive press from before Shabbos. The Malay Lahaska count in Mukta. Why would the Gemara go and randomly bring in the laws of Mukta over here, even though it happens to be talking about the olive press? But moreover, is the Lama Yashem and Mukta. Why should the oil be Mukta? But Mukta is when you, what's called Makta Midaita, you move it from your intention. Why would it become Mukta? Why would this regular oil be Mukta? So Batir Tzri actually explains that the Koyad El, actually this halacha of the Shemesh Badadin, is not like Rashi says. Rather, it is going back on the previous Gemara's exact case of when you leave the stone and the beam on the olives from before Shabbos, and that's what the Gemara is saying, Dim Ton Beis Abad Mibayim, if you let the beam continue being pressed out on the olives from before Shabbos, which we said you're allowed to do that, and Vashem and Zava Lechaz Kala Shabbos, and the oil oozes out the whole Shabbos. Now, yes, you didn't do any prohibition, but now regarding that oil, that's the machlekes. Rav Asra Eisei Shem, and Rav says that oil is forbidden, Mishum Mukta, because it's set aside. Why? Why is it set aside? To have a Noilid Gomer. Because one of the categories of Mukta, if something is totally just born and introduced and created new on Shabbos, where since it wasn't around before Shabbos, we consider it as Mukta. And why is this considered Noilid? Because the Machmas Kairis V'Igol Shalav, because of the beams and on the round boards that are on top of it, L'Hoyeroi Ben Ashmashish L'Achila, was not fit to be eaten on Erev Shabbos because the beams were on it. And since it wasn't fit to be eaten, so therefore, on Ben Ashmashish, what qualifies its status for Shabbos? And therefore, it's going to be Mukta. Now, on that says, Taisis, I avagav da manaske ninichu, but this was his intention. That's why he left it on it. V'samach al zeh sheyazav kol Shabbos, and he relied that it's going to be oozing out all Shabbos. And therefore, that's not that he's removing from his intention. To the contrary, his intention was that he's going to utilize it on Shabbos, and that actually makes those as those cases that actually permitted. And that says, Taisis, no, kiven de imashkin ba'olam, since ultimately the beverage is not here in the world, ha'ismicha lev midu, that reliance means nothing. V'havle noilid gam, and therefore it's still considered a bona fide noilid. Was not around to be utilized on Erev Shabbos by Ben Ashmash, and therefore, even on Shabbos when it does finally ooze out, it's going to be forbidden as Mukta. And as Tais explains, Tais is bothered by a question, says, and he's answering it. He says, and it's not the same thing as a pot of raw meat where the shari, why is it over there permitted? Avagav de Ben Ashmash lechaz lachila, by Ben Ashmash when they're cooking, it's not fit to be eaten. So obviously, you see that because ultimately he's not Maksim Edaiti because he intends to eat on Shabbos, so why is that any different? In the case we're talking about over here, it says Taisa, because the hasam over there, kiven da basa ba'olam, since the meat is there in the world, it's just that it's raw. So mahani da manas kemanicha, so it's effective that was the intention that you left over there for that intention, because ultimately it was there. And says Taisa, same thing became ayanis hanoibis, same thing you have by the springs that are pouring forth, which the Gemara later on tells us that you're allowed to drink from that water that comes out on Shabbos. It's not considered noilin. Why? Because even though that water is not out yet, but you're relying on it that it's going to come out on Shabbos. Aye, but why is that any different than our case over here? It says Taisa there too. Also, kivahim ba'olam, the water is there; it's just covered over. And the chayin tzayis cut and says. Taste the same thing is by the excrement of a minor, which comes in on Shabbos. The Gemara again also says later on that it's not forbidden as Nailin because the person's intention is on that Sayyid from before Shabbos. But what do you mean? There also, but ultimately it's not here. Says Taisa, no, Shoy Kvar B'meyev, it was in his intestines already from before Shabbos. So Mahani Ben Smicha, so therefore the reliance helps on relying on it from before Shabbos. In contrast, the beverage will be here, which was not here in the world at all, Bebein Hashmashes, because Bebein Hashmashes is just a food item, not a beverage, and therefore it does not help that you're relying on it from before Shabbos, and not some like all these cases where it was there, it was just hidden over. Now, says Taisvis, this cannot be compared to the olives and the grapes which were crushed from before Shabbos, and so to v'chein hashum ba'abayisah shariskim b'erev, or garlic or the unripe grapes that were crushed from before Shabbos, where there you're allowed to drink the liquid that comes out from it on Shabbos. Because the hasam chasam b'erev l'achila, because there at least it was fit for something from before Shabbos, at least for eating purposes. So although the beverage wasn't out, but it still had some utility, and therefore the liquid that also comes out is not going to be a problem but mukta of noilin.
But here was not even fit for eating by Ben Hashmashes because you had the beams on it on Ben Hashmashes. And moreover, the beverage also wasn't here in the world at all. So therefore that's considered a bona fide, something that totally just came from nowhere on Shabbos. Basla Rav, and therefore that's why according to Rav, it's going to be forbidden as mukta in this category of Noilim. Now, b'mtayim atez says it's significant to say, but b'perek bezla come on. Later on, the second perek of chotesim and after Amar, the Gemara says over there that Rav was once eating dates on a weekday, and he threw the pit behind the stove. Shabbachia said that on Yom Tov you wouldn't be able to do this because the pit is mukta. So now the Gemara says, did Rav accept this halacha Reb Chiya, or did he disagree with him and he held that no, the pit's not mukta? Now the Gemara says, let's bring a riot. Because Rav ate a date on Yom Tov, b'shad the kashyas l'chevas, and he threw the pit to an animal. So says the Gemara, my love b'parsiyasa, isn't it talking about the types of dates that these are the expensive dates, the Persian ones, that the flesh of the that the flesh of the fruit does not stick to the pit. You get the whole fruit off of the pit, and therefore you now let it move the pit because it has some of the flesh on it, which of course then it wouldn't be mukta like any fruit. And rather know that it's just the pit itself. Aye, so how was Rav able to move it? Obviously because he held that the pits of the dates are not mukta, and that Balei Kibla, and that he did not accept what Reb Chiya told him, that you're not allowed to move the pits, and that they're mukta on Yom Tov. Which the Gemara says, no, Bar Miyasa. We're talking about the cheap fruits, which the dates have, that the flesh is, that you can't get it totally off of the pit. And therefore, that's why he was able to move it on Yom Tov, because of the fruit that's on it. But if, let's say, the fruit was not on it, then Rabbi Hole, it would be forbidden to move it because the Kibla, he did accept Reb Chiya's prohibition of saying that the pit is considered mukta. But says Taisa Bahashta now, Hecha have a Matzlamema. How could the Gemara have entertained to say over there? They have a Parsiyasa that in its Havamina that this was the Persian types of fruits and that Rav held it, you know, let him move it. But Vaha, but the pits of dates are Nailid, because it wasn't there from before you ate it. But Rav also Nailid, and here Rav says that Nailid is forbidden. How could we have entertained to say that it would say that it would be Mutter? There's some tests, but you could say is the Hachim Perusha. This is what the Gemara is saying over there. My love, Beparsi Yosef, but the Kibbe, when they were saying that maybe these are the Persian dates and that he did not accept from Reb Chiya that it's forbidden to move it. Now, the reasoning of Rav wasn't because he held that, oh, it's Noilin that's permitted, because like we see in our Gemara, he held Noilin's forbidden. Rather, Mishum Dele Chashiba Le Rav Noilin. No, it's just because Rav did not consider it to be Noilin. Why? Kivin the Mikaragar and Mahashtagar, and since originally it was a pit and it's still a pit, it just was covered over, so there was not Noilin. And therefore, he would hold that it's permitted, because he didn't hold that the pits are Mukta. Aval Hocha, but over here in our Sugi, where Rav is considering the oil that comes out from the Alas to be Noilin, is Shemen Habalu Bezesim, because when you have olive oil that's absorbed in the olive, because Manchaliyotz, as long as it didn't come out, so have a Noilin Gummer, that obviously would be a bona fide Noilin, but Loi have a Mashka, and that would not be considered as Mashka initially. And therefore, to the contrary, when it does come out, it is bona fide Noilin, and therefore Rav held that it's also because of Noilin. So Tais is broad. The Rashi explains, what's this case of the Shemen of the Badodin of the olive pressers? That's the oil that's left over in the corner of the olive press that they could keep. Now, the Reed brought, the Tais brought from the Reed that, no, actually, it's going on the previous case of the Gemara, regarding olives that you had the beams on them from before Shabbos, and it's oozing out on Shabbos. Now, Rav held that although you didn't do any Isser, but the oil is Mukta, because since you cannot eat it and the beverage is not there by Ben Hashmashes, you can't eat it because the beams are on it, and it doesn't help that you're relying on the Mashkin because it's not in the world, Ben Hashmashes, so therefore it's Mukta, the cause of Nailim. The next test of Maskel Tes begins the words of the Gemara, Ushmul Sharib. Shmuel said that it's permitted, which Tes comes to explain, that even so, Shmuel was stringent on himself, as we find elsewhere, because he was an Adam Chashim. Which the Gemara brought, the halacha, the previous taste, the Shmuel says that actually the oil of the olive presses, that he held that even though it's Nailed, it's permitted. So Tes says, Tema, so then therefore it's a wonder. The B'Sev Perek Neitel, at the end of the Perek Neitel, later on, Daf Kuf Mem Gilmud Alf. I mean, the Gemara tells that Shmuel have metaltel garini parsiyas agar rifta. He would move these pits of these Persian, the expensive ones, which there's only the pit. All the fruit of the meat of the fruit is all off of the pit. He would move that pit through bread, pirish, b'shul is called sarkin, when it was totally ripened. She'ein nishim in the oichel alim klal, when none of the fruit is left on the pit itself. By these pits, that you now let him move them because of the fruit, because the fruit's not on it at all. And therefore, Shmuel was careful not to move it by itself, only when it was on the piece of bread, and then you can move it through the bread, which the bread you allowed to move. And that is Taisis. Why do you need to come on to this?
But as we just explained, we keep in the Shari Noilid Krib Shimon. But since the Shmuel says that Noilid is permitted like Krib Shimon, so Belebifta Nami Lishra Sibu, an operator should be permitted to move it because the date pit, although it's Noilid, which as we explained in the previous tasters, that's what the halachic problem is, but that Shmuel holds that's permitted. So Rabbeinu Tam answered, he explained the Shmuel Machma Latzmahayah. Shmuel was stringent on himself, even though he holds the basic halacha that's permitted. Because he was a distinguished personage. And as Taisa says, obvious from the Gemara over there, that we find that a chash of a person has to be stringent in the laws of muktzah, even that which is halachically permitted, because the Gemara brings over the Dama Bayi, he says, if I wasn't a chash of a person, I'm permitted to move without a spoon these bundles that Yelada, because you can lean on them, and they don't really have a halach of muktzah. Just because I'm a chash of a person, I have to be stringent myself. So obviously you see that regarding laws of muktzah, there are certain situations where a chash of a person has to be stringent himself, even though halachically it's permitted, and therefore Shmuel was stringent and only moved it with a piece of bread, even though, as we see from our sugi, he holds Yelada to move the pits themselves. Continue next text, David Masel says, begins the words of the Gemara, Hani Karchi Dezuzi, Rav Asim. She starts to come and explain the opinion, the halachic opinion of Rav regarding the laws of muktzah. As the Gemara says, these karchi dezuzi, which are these covers for the cargo on the ship, the Rav says it's forbidden, which means forbidden what? Says Tais Lataltal, to move them mishum muktzah, because of muktzah, which is like a Yehuda who holds that you're not allowed to move things because of muktzah, and not like Reb Shimon. And that is Taisa Tame, it's a wonder, because the Beperek Mefana later on the Kof Chasim Adalf. Amina, the Gemara tells us the Rav, bin muktzah lachila, regarding food items of being muktzah, that's what Sovak Rebbe Huda, that's what he holds like Rebbe Huda, that he, in the more stringent interpretation. But Rebbe Muktzah taught regarding movable things, regarding moving them of muktzah, Sovak Rebbe Shimon, he holds like Rebbe Shimon that it's permitted. Yet Vahach, over here we see from our Gemara, the Oitz Latalt, Lekarach and Azuzi, he said you're not even for the laws of even moving of these covers of the cargoes, of these mats, that he held as forbidden, which is like Rebbe Huda, which contradicts the Gemara later on the Nav Kof Chasim Adalf. So Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam explains like this. He says, the karche de zuze, these covers of the cargo, hein muktzah mach mes mias, they're not just regular muktzah. Why are they considered separate, meaning set aside, that you're not using them for Shabbos purposes? Because they're repulsive. Kagain, for example, we're talking about begadim, garments, machzalas, or mats, shemechasmem dogim, they covered fish, or v'shadvam, or other things, hamalachlam, oisim, which make them filthy. Now, regarding muktzah mach mes mias, that Rav does agree that it's going to be forbidden even to move it. V'hasim to come a Rav, but there the Gemara says that Rav holds the Mimuktzah L'taltal when it's guarding something of Mukta of moving, that's some of the Krib Shimon. That's Mimuktzah Shemakta Adam Midaitel Iskal Oitzah. That's regarding someone that set it aside that he's not using on Shabbos because he's keeping it for business or to put away in the storage house. Shame by Mias, which is nothing repulsive. For that, he holds like Krib Shimon, but regarding when it's Mias, then he would agree that it's going to be forbidden to move it. Now, so that Taisa has to explain now. So then, Bahadam and Perek Basa. This that we say in the last Perek, Enough Kovnun, Nevav Mavais. The Af Rav, so we like Yehuda, that also Rav holds like Yehuda, that holds that a animal that became an Avela, it died on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to move it. So the Gemara proves, how do we know this? From our Sugya, Medikarchi, the Zuzi, from these mats of the cargo, the Rav Asa, the Rav holds, it's forbidden. So obviously, holds that the laws of Mukta, even regarding the laws of Tiltal, of moving things. But so that Taisa asks, well, that's difficult. What's the proof? Didn't we just say that our sugya is different because of muktzah machmas mias, like we explained, but nevela, which is not disgusting, then it wouldn't be forbidden to move it because of Shabbos. How do we prove that Rav holds that it's usher to move it? So that Mefarash Rabbeinu Tam explains, because the nevela mesnabelis b'Shabbos, an animal that dies and becomes nevela on Shabbos, muktzah machmas iserhu. Why is that considered muktzah? Because of the prohibition that it was prohibited because bein hashmash was forbidden to eat it because it was a living animal, even melachai. So that's why when it becomes nevela, it's going to be considered still muktzah because of the prohibition of Eiv Mechai to afla klov mein erav mechai, because even for dogs, the animal was not fit when it was alive by Ben HaShemashes, because it's not normal for people to feed to the dogs an animal that's alive. And since it's muktzah machmas iser, a muktzah machmas iser chama mi muktzah machmas mias. And the muktzah status of something that's forbidden because it's of its prohibition, which there's an iser related to that, which like Eiv Mechai, that's more stringent than the muktzah because of something that's repulsive. So since we just explained that in our sugya, we see that Rav holds muktzah machmas mias. You're not allowed to move it, even though by regular muktzah, let's say he holds like Reb Shimon the Yeladum. So for sure, when it's muktzah machmas iser, he's also going to hold that, and therefore the Gemara could prove from our sugya of muktzah machmas mias that he holds up Rabbi Huda's halacha of muktzah machmas iser, that for sure he's going to hold that it's going to be muktzah. But then Taisa has to address another question. This that we say in the first parak in Chol Navi Dal Manav Bishmaita, in this sugya, which the Gemara brings over there, regarding an animal that was slaughtered on Shabbos that's forbidden to be eaten. So the Gemara explains over there that it's obvious that it sounds like that from the Mishnah over there. And that the colleagues wanted to say that Masnitin, the Mishnah that says forbidden to for this animal to be eaten, that it's Rabbi Hudi. It's kind of like Rabbi Hudi that he holds that you're not allowed to move an old can, an old lamp because of Muktzah. And therefore, it's logical to say Rabbi Huda also holds regarding an animal that was slaughtered on Shabbos, that's also going to be usher because it's muktzah. Because by Bein Hashmashes, it was forbidden to eat because of Eiv Min HaChai. On that, the Gemara rejects and says, no. Eiv Min HaShem Rabbi Huda, when do we say Rabbi Huda holds that this muktzah is b'muktzah machmas mias? Is for muktzah because it's repulsive. But muktzah machmas isser mishamali, but does he say that the same thing would apply by muktzah machmas isser, like in the case over there, because of Issa Eiv Min HaChai? Do we find that he says that it's going to be usher? No, so therefore, ask Taisus. So you see the contrary. You see that Muktzah Machmas Mias is more stringent than Muktzah Machmas Isser. So that's typical on what we said just before, that we said that Muktzah Machmas Isser is more stringent than Muktzah Machmas Mias. So that Taisus answers that this is the Gemara says over here, that maybe Muktzah Machmas Mias is more stringent, is Dicha Ba'amahu. That's just a rejection, just a way for the Gemara to say that it's not necessarily that it's going to be Rabbi Huda. But says Taisus, as we're saying, according to the Gemara's conclusion over there, that the Gemara anyways brings a different Mishnah that it proves that Rabbi Huda is the town that holds that an animal that's slaughtered on Shabbos is going to be forbidden to be eaten. So then, yes, noime, we could say the muktzah machmas isser tvei chamer, like we're saying in our Taisus, that the muktzah machmas isser is more chamer than muktzah machmas mias. And therefore, again, even though generally he holds like Rabbi Shimon, that muktzah machmas, that regular muktzah you're allowed to move, but muktzah machmas mias, as in our Gemara, you're not allowed to move, and therefore for sure muktzah machmas isser you're also not allowed to move. And says Taisus Tedi, you should know that Muktzah Machmas Isser is more stringent because the Gemara says over there, it brings the opinion of a mayor. If someone cooks on Shabbos by mistake, you're allowed to eat on Shabbos. And the Gemara brings that the same thing would apply. If someone slaughtered an animal on Shabbos by mistake, you're allowed to eat on Shabbos. On that, Kamahasim, on that, the Gemara says, no, you can't compare the two. Because aim the Shabbos of mayor, when do you say for a mayor that if you do it by mistake, it's going to be permitted? That's specifically by Mavashal, by cooking. But then we should not say it's forbidden because of Muktzah. Because the raw loch is, because it's not muktzah even if it wasn't cooked, because you could chew it in its raw state. But sheichet, regarding slaughtering, the inner raw loch is, we cannot chew it when the animal is still alive in its raw state. Mishamali, do we find that he's going to say that it's you can't eat it in its raw state because of the Isayim Lachai? Did we hear that he's going to say that it's going to be permitted? And therefore, lav dafka, would he say that it's permitted even in the case of slaughtering too? But one thing says, Taisus, ma'ash medisler mei muktzah machmas isser, but it sounds like from that Gemara that he holds that when something is muktzah, that if something is usser, like Eiv Min HaChai, that therefore the case of shechita he holds not permitted, because that would be a problem about muktzah. Yet, but Perikira Mashma, later on Perikira, it sounds like the Lesley Muktzah Machmas Misi does not hold of the halach of muktzah because of something being repulsive. Where do we find this? Got Metaltam Ner Chadish Abel Yashin, regarding that you can move a new lamp, but that was never lit at all, which is not disgusting, but you cannot move an old lamp, because that's repulsive. Remeir Ami says, Kolan Ner is Metaltam. Old lamps you can move, even old ones. Chutz Min HaNer should leak by Mitzvah Shabbos, unless it was a lamp that was lit on that Shabbos itself, because that's a different problem. It was lit literally on this Shabbos. But one thing we see, that according to Meir, that he does not hold of Muktzah Machmas Mias, and even so he holds of Muktzah Machmas Isser. So obviously Taisus proves the point that Muktzah Machmas Isser is more stringent than Muktzah Machmas Mias. So Taisus explained that this Karche Dezuzi, these mats that cover the cargo on the ships, they're Muktzah Machmas Mias. They become disgusting. On the boats where they have the fish and they cover it with these mats, and that's where Rav holds that you're not allowed to even move it. And so too for sure Muktzah Machmas Isser, which is more stringent than Muktzah Machmas Mias. But by regular Muktzah, yeah, Taisus proved that Rav holds that you're allowed to move it, and that it would only be forbidden to eat it, because regarding moving, he holds a Reb Shimon that actually does not hold of this wide scope of the halacha of Muktzah. Continuing next, Taisus Masl, Taisus begins the words of the Gemara, V'chad Matzl Ba'arba B'chamesh Mani, one he saved with four or five different baskets, which Taisus can explain what's the machlekes of these students. That is, there's a Gemara later on the Kof Chof Amad Aleph that it's forbidden to save on Shabbos things because of a fire, only the food for three meals worth of Shabbos, and not more than that. But if, let's say, there was more, let's say even 100 meals in one basket, then you're allowed to go ahead and take out the one basket, even though it has more than three meals in that basket. So in our Gemara, we bring that these two students, one saved from the fire only in one vessel, and the other friend saved, like our different Maskel Taisus says, even in four or five different vessels. So Taisus brings that Pirsh B'Kundra's Rashi explains that the one who took in four or five different baskets, what does that mean he did? Then he folded all the four or five baskets into one large vessel. Then he carried them at one time out into the courtyard. And therefore it's permitted, even though there's many kelim, even though there's more than three sudas, because ultimately he took it down one kli. But the other colleague, he disagreed. He says, no, you're not allowed to do that. Because since initially it was four or five different kelim, and he's going through the effort of putting them into one kli, it's forbidden to do that. That's the taste of Ein Nila Rebbein Tam. This does not seem to be correct, the interpretation of Ein Nila Rebbein Tam. Because the prepared called Kisvei, because later on over there in that Sogyan Kafchaf Amar Aleph, Loi Pli Gemaroi Bahar. This is not a Machlek Zemarim, as our Gemara seems to indicate that this is a Machlek Zemarim, because actually the Baihi, the case that Rashi is describing is the Gemara's question. Well, Pashan, the Gemara resolves it and says, the Kabbal Lahatzel Dami. It's like when you're coming to save, which is Vishar Lekuliyama, that everyone holds, you're allowed to go ahead and take the four or five and put it into one and go ahead and take it out. So how could our Gemara say that it's a Machlek Zemarim when actually everyone holds, you're allowed to do the case that Rashi describes? So therefore, actually, Mefarsh Rebbein Tam, he gives a different interpretation. He says, the chad matzal b'chad manam, when it says that one saved in one basket, means to say, when everything was in one basket, or even in many different vessels, but he goes and he gathers them into one basket, then yes, you're allowed to go ahead and save, afil amei sudeis, even 100 meals, aval ba'arb v'chamish mani, but in four or five baskets, meaning, what does that mean? That's not the case that we just, because that's the way Rashi described four or five, was just what we just said, in Rabbeinu Tam, that's permitted to be done. And that was because the Gemara says it later on. Rather, what's the case that they dispute regarding four or five baskets, if that was permitted or not? That's kagoyin lahatzel v'lachzel v'lahatzel. It doesn't mean like Rashi said that they put the four or five into one and took it out. No, that's permitted according to everyone. It means four or five different baskets to go ahead and save and then go back and save again. And that is afil b'yis l'chatzel, that's even in the same courtyard itself, that loy, that's not going to be permitted. That's what one opinion held. The other one says, no, you're allowed to save four or five times in four or five different baskets to that same courtyard, because he holds that this, that it says in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to save with many different kelim, that's specifically taken into a different courtyard. But in the same courtyard, that's going to be permitted. Ah, and that's the Rebbein Tam, but Baha, and this interpretation, if you're allowed to save to the same, to the its courtyard itself, of that burning house, in many different vessels, that's Pligi Hasim, that is a Machlekes HaMarom of the between Rabbi Barzav, the Rav Huna. And therefore, that was the dispute of these two colleagues here in our Gemara. So Taisa brought a dispute with Rashi in regarding the interpretation of these two students. Rashi explained that Machlekes was regarding you're allowed to take many kelim into one basket and to save it at one time. Taisa explained that no, Rabbein Tam says that the dispute was to take it into the courtyard of this house itself and to then to do it many different times in many different kelim. That was their Machlekes, which, yeah, we find this Machlekes Amram there in that Sugya in Perek Kol Kesvei and Nafkof Chof Amaral.